Welcome to the Zero Input Agriculture Podcast. If you would like to support the work I do, please grab a copy of Taming the Apocalypse, an exploration of the potential for novel domestications to lead to new civilizations, or sign up to my Substack to read my past posts or listen to the audiobook of Taming the Apocalypse. This week, the staple crop to vegetable pipeline. Few people realize that many of our vegetable species have origins as staple crops. For example, snow peas are merely a specialized lineage of field peas, which were cultivated for millennia as a staple dry legume for cooking peas porridge mentioned in old nursery rhymes. The creation of snap beans from kidney beans and sweet corn from more vigorous maize populations mirrors this pattern. The general pattern of harvesting a plant in its tender, immature stage of development extends to solidly staple crops like wheat through the production of fricae, or even to non-food crops in the form of immature bottle gourds and loofahs. The creation of dedicated vegetable-type lines of staple crops often leads to a loss of vigour, due to some combination of inbreeding and smaller-scale cultivation that permits more inputs per plant. The loss of defense chemicals may also be necessary to permit fresh consumption. Pumpkins were originally a staple crop, grown for their oil and protein-rich seeds. Their use as a vegetable was of minor importance until the much more recent development of weaker strains bred for a high yield of sweet flesh. Watermelons were likewise originally domesticated as a source of storable water during the dry season in southern Africa, then for their oil-rich seeds, until finally a single mutation led to the varieties of sweet flesh that we are most familiar with. Melons made a similar transition, though the vegetable forms of Cucurbita melo are mostly unknown outside of India. The next example showing the whole pipeline is the humble apple. In many places in Europe, peasants would forage for wild crab apples growing in hedgerows and wild places. These sour fruits were added in small quantities to cooked food. Later came orchards of high tannin apple varieties, best suited for brewing into cider. These were often seed-grown, since variations in fruit quality were tolerable, while a lack of vigour or productivity was not. Only much more recently did the idea of dessert fruit spread widely, relying on highly selected grafted clones that produce the high-sugar, low-acid fruit suitable for eating straight from the tree. This genetic narrowing brought an inevitable drop in vigour compared to previous incarnations of the genus. An interesting variation on this process is the transformation of various plants from potent medicinal herbs to culinary herbs used for flavouring, and eventually into bland, bloated versions that are consumed as larger quantities as vegetables. Lettuce was originally grown for the latex in its flower heads, used as a mild sedative and painkiller. Carrots were also originally a diuretic, then a herb for its flavorful seeds and leaves, similar to coriander today, a species where the insubstantial root is also consumed at times. In time, coriander could be selected for large, tasteless roots as well. Parsley has gone through a less widely known transformation, leading to Hamburg strains with carrot-like roots. If you're interested in growing your own food, then this should give you a sense of perspective. Modern vegetable varieties represent some of the weakest, most inbred organisms on the face of the earth. They were developed to give maximal performance and profit under carefully controlled, high-input conditions, with each species demanding a specific soil type and set of management practices. Expecting to grow the range of vegetables that we typically buy in the supermarket in a home vegetable garden is a folly. Even if your soil isn't necessarily bad, it is impractical to have the sandy soil beloved by carrots and the mineral-rich clay beloved by broccoli at the same time. No commercial vegetable grower would be expected to produce both crops profitably on the same land. This process of specialization and narrowing of genetics has only gotten worse in vegetables in the last century, with the majority of seed for sale to home gardeners coming as a byproduct from the sprawling industrial vegetable system, which now relies heavily on greenhouses, automated watering systems, and integrated pest management to deal with the spreading weaknesses. All this stress and effort to grow a product which is little more than water and cellulose and that carries the vague promise of health. Vegetables can be lovely, interesting, and beneficial additions to the human diet, but history shows that they have always been peripheral players. Home growers would do better to take a step backwards, away from the most intensively vegetabilized varieties, and make an effort to develop locally adapted staple crops, even if they can only do so on a small scale. It's time home gardeners put vegetables in their proper place. To do so, we need to focus on the ideal traits of a vegetable suitable for home-scale production, something I will continue exploring in future posts.